Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Wharton. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries around the world over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on Follow the Money when we come back. You know, Americans today are interrogated, watched, measured, and counted more than at any time in our history. This surveillance and electronic record keeping of nearly every routine activity, from bank deposits to medical visits, has produced greater efficiency and security, all right. But it's also responsible for a very discernible erosion of our ability to live our lives free from outside scrutiny. Now, our federal government currently maintains an average of 15 files on every American. Now, that's according to estimates by the Office of Management and Budget. But closer to home, our state and local governments are using computers to keep their own files on us. And a study conducted by the New York Committee on Open Government found that that state, New York, and its agencies operated 1,776 separate data systems containing 10,799 categories of information about New York residents. And every one of those systems contained between 2 and 10 million records. Now, that information about you is gained from 63 sources, and this information is gathered and stored in a very reasoned and logical manner for later retrieval and use. Now, would you like to know how your government, your bank, your insurance company, how business and industry obtains all of this information about you? What are their sources? How is it stored? How is it retrieved? What do they want it for anyway? Well, knowing how this information is gathered and what information is being stored and what information you want to keep personal and private actually puts you in the driver's seat in your quest for privacy. Now, if you'd like more information about privacy and privacy issues, call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. Be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. That's the place to start. And let me tell you how to train yourself to be just as personal and private as you want to be. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. And you can just call and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. All right, we're talking about follow the money. So last time I told you about this outsourcing of jobs, the deflation of 1865 to 1900. The American economy is structurally sound, our president tells us. Strong and sound are his words the other day. And then I told you a story from the Money Changer about the Bretton Woods Agreement and why it is that corporations in America, our government, and our banks and financial institutions are encouraging the deindustrialization of America. In 1960, 63% of all the jobs in America were from manufacturing. That was in 1960. Today, it's under 10%. This deindustrialization, this shipping or outsourcing of our jobs, our manufacturing industry to China, was set up with the Bretton Woods Agreement in 1944. It's been going on for 50 years. We're starting to wake up to the fact that America, past tense, has been deindustrialized. This is no longer the industrial giant that we used to be. In 1960, there were 27 steel mills operating in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Today, there's zero. That's deindustrialization. As a result of this, we Americans, who were the world's number one creditor nation in 1950, are today the world's number one debtor nation. We are buried in debt. It's not an accident. It was designed that way. It's just being done on purpose. And our standard of living has been going down since 1973. So that's not an accident. That's being designed. It's done intentionally. There's a reason for that. And our president tells us that our economy is structurally sound, that it's sound and strong. But I mentioned last time, I said our president's a liar. He lies a lot. He doesn't lie all the time. Sometimes he tells us the truth. And then he lies. And then he tells us the truth. And then he lies. And he tells us the truth. Well, what happens over a long period of time is that we become deceived totally all the time. And that's because the context of the truth and the lies, you know, taken together, leaves us deceived. I don't know when he's telling the truth and when he's lying. I'm not a prophet. You know, I'm not God. I can't tell. Sometimes he's telling the truth. Now, I gave you a bad report the last time, and it was really morose. It's disappointing. You know, it would make you despondent listening to this program. I never listened to the Law or an Editorial Review. I couldn't stand it. It's too damn depressing. I don't know why the hell you people listen. But, you know, for some reason, you know, millions of people around the world are listening to the Law or an Editorial Review, Because as the emails say and the letters say and the telephone calls say, no, you're the only guy around here that's got any common sense. That's the least common denominator, common sense. Well, I don't know if I've got any common sense or not. I'll leave that up to you. You can decide for yourself. It's self-serving for me to say that. But I just read the reports, and I make these reports to you just like I read them. I read that money changer story, and I said, oh, my God, let me put this on the air. It's depressing. I mean, that's about as depressing as hearing that the Titanic just hit an iceberg. That doesn't bode well. How bad's the damage? We don't know yet. So we're going through a period of time here where the great ship America, beginning in August of 2007, hit an iceberg. That's when the economy started to unravel. That's when the housing bubble and the CDOs and the SIVs and the toxic sludge became apparent. And we've been in a period of volatility. We don't know whether to come or go or go blind, or as the old saying goes, but we're all trying to figure this out. So I read the International Forecaster the other day, and talking about U.S. markets and talking about the state of the economy and one thing and another. Now, keep in mind, George Bush has offered us a stimulus package. Remember I mentioned that last time, $150 billion stimulus package. He's going to write us a check for $600 and send it out to everybody in America. I don't expect to get one. You got to be a taxpayer. You got to be on the dole. You got to have some connecting link here with the U.S. government. I don't have any of those, so I shouldn't be getting a check in the mail, but many of you people will. And when you get your check in the mail, you're supposed to go out and spend it so that you can stimulate the economy. And I thought, hell, if $600 is good and would stimulate the economy, wouldn't $1,200 be twice as good? $2,400, $4,800? Hell, I made the suggestion that we give everybody $1 million. I mean, if you want to stimulate the economy, let's do it right. Send me $1 million. I'd like to help you stimulate the economy. Now, I think everybody can see that if everybody in America had $1 million all at the same time, we'd all quit working. We wouldn't produce anything. We'd all go down to the mall. We'd buy everything they've got. And, of course, everybody with $1 million in his pocket doesn't need to go to work. And so there's no more work. There's no more malls. There's no more doing. You know, it's self-destructive. And that's what inflation does. Inflation is like giving you a little bit of money, a little bit more money than you worked for. It makes you feel good, stimulates the economy, makes you go out and buy more stuff. The ultimate end of it, though, is the same as giving you $1 million. The ultimate end is the destruction of that economy. And that's where we're at today. We're at the beginning of the destruction of the economy. Now, the last time this occurred was, it began, you can identify the dates, on October the 24th, 1929, is the beginning of the last time we went through this destruction of the economy. And it lasted 11 years. It went from October of 1929 until December 7th, 1941. 11 years of unmitigated hell, economic hell. That's what all of the old-timers told me. And so I took that to heart, and I said, well, I need to avoid that in my lifetime. I need to avoid these great depressions. I need to avoid inflation, deflation, depressions, recessions. You know, I'd like to have economic tranquility. And so there's a modality, there's a methodology for doing that, and it comes from the Bible of all places. There's 15 economic laws described in the Bible. If you'll practice those, you won't have any deflation, inflation, and you won't have the monetary upsets that everybody else has. I didn't know that until, no, hell, about 1985, I guess, something like that. So I started practicing that about 1985, and it works like a shot. So I thought I'd share it with you. But before we get to the conclusion or the answer to it, we'll take a look at, well, what in the hell caused this problem to start with? Why do we have inflation? Why do we have deflation? Inflation, deflation, depression, recession. Why? Who causes this? What makes it happen? What's the dynamic behind it? Kind of like running into icebergs. You know, if we could figure out a way to stop running into these icebergs, we could save a lot of misery. So here's what Bob Chapman has to say. He says, if you're still wondering what the current credit crunch catastrophe is all about, you need look no further than the offices occupied by credit managers and loan underwriters at banks and lending institutions all around the world. Every time one of these poor unfortunate souls picks up a loan file, bullets of sweat start to run down their foreheads as their minds are filled with the ominous foreboding of in their hearts. As their hearts are gripped by a deadly mixture of bone-chilling horror and stark raving terror, wondering whether this particular loan will be the one that ends their career, and the very handsome salaries and bonuses that they have become accustomed to receiving over the past several years, during which defaults have been virtually non-existent. What are they afraid of? Well, according to a recent article by Jim Willey, there are a total of some $10.4 trillion worth of dollar-denominated bonds, of which at least $7 trillion are prime AAA, and of which about $1.4 trillion are subprime BBB, and the remainder being ALTAs, which are somewhere in between. And he further tells us that according to the various bond indices, the prime bonds have lost about 30% of their value, amounting to a loss of $2.1 trillion, which Wall Street refuses to even discuss, while the subprime bonds have lost about 80% of their value, amounting to a loss of about $1.1 trillion. And then let's not forget the alt-A's, which are kicking in another cool $1 trillion in losses. and which the pirates of Wall Street are still dancing around in much the same way that the bandido's victim would do in a Mexican hat dance around a sombrero while bullets whistle and ricochet around his wildly moving feet. Holy freaking financial Armageddon, Batman. That's mind-blowing. $4.2 trillion of losses. Now, yes, boys and girls, you heard that correctly. $4.2 trillion have been lost in the American economy since last August. And it's just the tip of the iceberg. We haven't gotten into anything serious yet. Now, the banks are on the verge of bankruptcy, and the president says the American economy is fundamentally sound. Well, if the American economy is fundamentally sound, then how come we lost $4 trillion over the last 6 months? What the hell is that all about? Boys and girls, if I was running a business and I lost a bundle of money, I wouldn't say that everything was running honky-dory. Now, this is just the tip of the iceberg, and Bob Chapman here, he's got some more bad news, if you think this is bad. Now, before you become totally disenchanted, there's a solution to all of this, but I would contend that before we can get to the solution, we got to get our brains wrapped around what the hell the problem is. Now, the problem, you know, in a microcosm is this. There's a law that says thou shalt not steal. We've been violating that law with wild abandon since House Joint Resolution 192 was adopted by Congress back in 1933. June 5th, 1933, began the economic reign of terror. I didn't make it that way. It was before I was born, but I'm just here as a reporter to tell you that that's when that thing got started. Bretton Woods didn't help anything. Hell, it exacerbated. Threw gasoline on the fire. 1944, another 10, 11 years later, you know, they came along and they threw a little more gas on the fire. 1971 came along and we closed the gold window. That threw some more gas on the fire. All right, now, there's an ultimate end to all of this. There's a reason for it, and there's profits to be made, and then there's an ultimate end. And the ultimate end is going to be another 11-year economic nightmare called Great Depression. I don't know if we'll call it the Great Depression of the 21st century, or we'll call it the Second Great Depression, you know, like World War I, and it was called the Great War, and then World War II came along, and then they called it World War I and World War II, Depression I, Depression II, I don't know. But as a reporter, I came here to tell you, you know, that we're already in it. It started. And in 1929, when the stock market crashed in October of 1929, held it, there was volatility. It went on for about a year, 18 months. 1931 comes along, and boy, now things are really starting to get tough. Then comes 32, 33, and then to exacerbate the problem, we get the Dust Bowl. We get this great drought that comes down on us. Not only do we have this economic debacle, but we got this physical great drought to exacerbate this Great Depression. And this thing goes on until World War II before we finally turn the corner and get back out of it. Now, I'm not a prophet, and I can't tell you it's going to last 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, or 50. I haven't got a clue. I'm just here to tell you that what's coming is going to be bad, and it isn't good, and it's going to be sad, and there's going to be a lot of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and there's going to be a lot of financial resources that are going to change hands. You've got a house today, you're going to lose it. Or maybe you're on the other side. You got six houses today, you're going to pick up six more. There's going to be winners and there's going to be losers. Most of the people of America, most of the people of the world, the Joe Sixpacks and Sally Housewives are going to be the losers. Now, you read that correctly. That's a T, trillion, T, trillion. And this combined total is close to one-third of the entire gross domestic product, which has just been flushed down the toilet in 6 months. So take one-third of everything that you're going to create and produce in the year of 2007, it was all flushed down the toilet in about 6 months, one-third of it. Now, that's a pretty big hit, and they're telling us that that's just starting. You haven't seen nothing yet. These jaw-dropping losses on AAA, Alt-A, and BBB paper are greater by a factor of 10 than the grossly understated loss figures that the three stooges of our financial system, meaning our corrupt government, Wall Street, and corporate America, would have us believe. These unbelievable total, $4.2 trillion of losses, is spread all over the world. And due to our opaque and completely unregulated system of banking and finance, for which we can thank our farcical, fraudulent, feckless Fed, no one knows where any of these losses are or who the walking dead victims are. This is like a financial nightmare adaptation of George Romero's horror classics, The Night of the Living Dead and The Dawn of the Dead. And this does not even take into account the multiplication of these losses due to leverage or the further downgrading of that 3A paper due to the loss of 3A status by bond insurers, which is the only thing that made many of these bonds 3A in the first place. So if you are a credit manager or you are a loan underwriter, would you approve a multi-million or a multi-billion dollar loan to anyone for any reason unless you were absolutely 100% sure that you're going to get repaid on time? You know, every time you pick up a file, it's like playing Russian roulette with your career, for crying out loud. And you're wondering why we have a credit crunch We wonder why any loans are getting approved at all. In fact, we're starting to feel some of that bone-chilling horror ourselves as we try to wrap our minds around the immensity of these problems. What have these madmen done to our world economy? If you're a credit manager or you're a loan underwriter, you're not looking at 70 or 80% recovery if one of these zombies is on your approval list. You're looking at a big goose egg. You're looking at a big Zippo. None. And we don't mean, you know, the kind of Zippo that you light your cigarettes with. This is where a bevy of security guards show up in your office and ask you to empty out your desk, after which they quietly escort you out the front door to your car and insist that you leave the premises immediately. And heaven forbid that anyone should so much as whisper anything about the potential losses from credit default swaps and interest rate swaps, lest they die of a myocardial infarction from merely discussing such losses, much less trying to comprehend them because of the magnitude and the consequences of such losses, which are completely unprecedented and beyond the understanding of most mortal men. Now, we're being told that there are $450 trillion of notional bond debt covered by interest rate swaps, which is about 30 times the U.S. gross domestic product. This is just absolute madness. And we're being told in studies that the losses should be limited to about 6%, or only $27 trillion. Well, boys and girls, $27 trillion alone is enough to send chills up and down your spine while your heart palpitates, isn't it? But aren't these the same people that told us that the real estate markets were experiencing a slight downturn last August and that it would be contained? And aren't these the same people that have been telling us about the credit crunch? Don't worry about it. We're working on it. But what if they're wrong again this time? What if it's 7%? Now, that's only another $4.5 trillion of losses. And that's more than all of the prime, alt-A, and subprime bond losses put together, at least so far. That's if it's just one percentage point higher. What if it's 20%? That'd be a mind-blowing $90 trillion loss. That's six times the gross domestic product, for crying out loud. And what about all the lunatics who bought this credit default swap material to start with, without buying any of the underlying bond debt? Don't they know that in order to make a claim under a credit default swap, you have to turn the security over to the insurer, or you're dead in the water? And what happens when the amount of the swaps exceed the debt that is supposed to be covered? Is everyone supposed to play musical chairs to see who is left standing without holding a bond to redeem? Has anyone had so much as a single thought going through their heads while all of this has been going on? You know, this credit default swap situation alone is pure unadulterated lunacy. But we have not even mentioned the interest rate swaps yet. That's another $600 trillion. Remember, we got $450 trillion in this one group, and now we got another group. Another pile of money over here called credit default swaps, and they're called $600 trillion of these notional principles wrapped up in these weapons of mass financial destruction. That's 40 times the gross domestic product and notional principle. Who was asleep at the wheel while these puppies multiplied? You know, for every $1 trillion of notional principle, all those who are on the wrong end of these thermonuclear devices by only a 1% differential between fixed and variable rates get to eat $10 billion in losses. So when we get double-digit inflation due to rampaging risk assessment from imploding bonds and credit default swaps, while the Fed attempts in vain to raise rates to stop hyperstagflation as it reaches full bloom in its reign of terror, what if the differential between fixed and variable returns for those on the wrong end of these reserves vaporizes and rockets to 10%? You know, that's $100 billion per trillion of notional principal. And we sure hope the big banks who own most of these reserve-destroying financial meat grinders don't have lopsided trading positions between fixed and variable rate swaps. But given what we've seen so far, we don't hold out any hope for any good conclusions. Now, I don't know what you do when you take $600 trillion and add $450 trillion. I don't know what that number is. You don't want to write me an email and say, hey, Gordon, you're really dumb. I don't know what the next number is over a trillion. See, we're getting into an area here that's already beginning to unravel. So take your pension plans. You know, a lot of you people out there, you know, you're baby boomers and you've got a pension and you're planning on retiring and driving around the country and your Winnebago. Put it out of your mind. That's Alice in Wonderland nonsense. That isn't going to happen. And all of you teachers and firemen and policemen out there with all of your pensions, those pensions are invested. Your union has invested those pension funds in stocks and bonds and alt-A's and CDOs, and it's all being wiped out as I speak. It's all being wiped out. You're going to be left penniless. You're not going to have a pot to piss in, a place to put it, or a window to throw it out of when it's all said and done. Now, that's where we're headed. Now, I'm just a reporter. I'm just here to report to you, and we got to have a solution. You know, if you're a Joe Sixpack like me, you know, what in the hell am I going to do? Now, I'm not going to save Citibank and J.P. Morgan. I'm not going to, you know, rush off to Washington, you know, and say, now, Mr. Bernanke, here's the wisdom of George Gordon. Let me show you how to save the world economy. Hell, I haven't got a clue. And I'll tell you something else. I don't believe any of these presidential jerks running around here saying, do you vote for me, have a clue as to what the hell to do either. I think this is a problem that could tax God Almighty himself. I mean, he might have to sit down and think about this for 15 or 20 minutes to work out a solution. Which, by the way, he had a solution in play before all of this overwhelmed us. You know, if we would have stuck with just weights and balances and forgot about all this paper, I think we'd have been better off. That's what his conclusion was. That's what he told us. That's why he gave us two laws. One of them is thou shalt not steal. The other one is you shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag. And so we came along and said, oh, hell, he doesn't understand international geopolitics, finance. He doesn't understand stock markets and profit and loss statements. And, you know, God's totally out of touch with reality. So let's go to New York and Wall Street, and let's cut a fat hog in the back, and let's have some real profit potential realized in the real business world. And so we did. And hell, a lot of people made money. I mentioned to you last time, you know, this guy, Ted Turner, pretty smart fellow. I always liked Ted. He's a prime A number one communist. He's a man after my own heart. Hell, I was a communist until I was 42. I was born a communist. I was raised a communist. I was institutionalized in a communist institution for 12 years. I came out a communist when I came out of the institution. I practiced communism from age, I got out of the institution about age 18, 28, 38, 24 years. I practiced communism for 24 years. Didn't work for me. And I don't think it's going to work for you any better than it did me. And I woke up one day and I said, I don't think this communism is all it's cracked up to be. So I went back to practicing property and property law and property rights based upon the Mosaic Law. And I started practicing thou shalt not steal and just weights and balances and gold and silver coin. And it worked out very well for me. And I'm very happy, very, very, very pleased with the outcome. So if you're pleased with your outcome, stick with it. And I plan on sticking with my program. It's worked so well that I just want to do more about it. So I thought I'd share it with you because the world economy is coming unraveled. Now, I told you last time why. Now, I'm going to the International Forecaster, and by the way, I guess I'll tell you where you can get a copy of the International Forecaster. You'll get this from Bob Chapman. The guy's name is Bob Chapman. He's an old man like me, probably older. And you can go to www.theinternationalforecaster.com. So if you've got a computer and you're online, just go to www.theinternationalforecaster.com. The subscription price is $159 a year. And if you don't have a computer, you can write him a letter. I don't see a phone number on here. I don't think you can call him. I think you're going to have to write him a letter. If it's either email, we got an email address there. It's internationalforecaster@yahoo.com. Internationalforecaster@yahoo.com. Or you can send him a letter at P.O. Box 510-518. That's Post Office Box 510-518, Punta Gorda, Florida. That's P-U-N-T-A, Gorda, G-O-R-D-A. Two words, Punta Gorda, Florida, 33951. Now, you got to have that number, zip plus four, to get to him. You got to have 0518. So if you send him this letter and you don't have the 3579-digit zip, he ain't going to get it. He tells you that right here on the face of it. He says, the zip code has to be 33951-0518. And if you fail to do that, he will not get your letter. So if you can't put the zip code on it, don't waste your time writing him a letter. Because he's already told us they won't deliver it. So that's Post Office Box 510-518, Punta Gorda, Florida, 33951-0518. Now that's the International Forecaster. Now that's the tip of the iceberg. Tip of the iceberg. And our president, George Bush, says our economy is fundamentally sound. Strong. Strong and sound. And that's why the president's going to hand out $600 checks, $150 billion worth. I don't know whether he's telling us the truth this time or lying to us, kids, but I'd be suspicious. And let me give you a reminder that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. Now, if you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. Now, The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the webpage at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Just bear with me, I'm old. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. Now, remember, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package If you'd like to order one, just call the Law School and ask for it. The number is 417-273-4967. That's area code 417-273-4967. People ask me, how come you do that? And I said, well, you know, people call here all the time. They want to know more about it. I don't want to have to sit here on the telephone and tell you 4 hours of material. So I sat down and I ran off some discs. And I said, oh, let me tell you the story. So I just sit down here and I tell you all about us and what we're doing and here's why. And that way I don't have to spend that time to do that 30 times a day on the telephone. Now, the sources of information that we use here on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. Now, the Law and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements and recommendations that we give don't mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are going to reciprocate. Most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law are political, or they're religious, or economic, or sectarian. They can be racial or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine or mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Or you can call the Law School Direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're covering some really, really sad stories out of the International Forecaster. I gave you the name and number of the International Forecaster. That's Bob Chapman. You can go to theinternationalforecaster.com and get more information. Now, every once in a while, I get some letters in here. And the other day, the guy called on the phone. You know, people call here on the telephone, or they send an email, or they send a letter. And this guy was a doctor down in Florida. And this doctor called up, and he asked my wife what the closest airport to the farm here was. He's a private pilot, and he's got an airplane. He wanted to know where the closest one was. She said, well, over in Gainesville. It's about 10, 15 miles. He says, oh, no, I got to have something closer than that, something within walking distance. And so she thought for a minute, and she says, well, there's a private strip over here at Sundown. And I imagine you could probably land over there. It's probably about 2 or 3 miles from the farm. He said, oh, that's what I need. She said, why? He said, well, when this thing turns turtle, and we have rioting in the streets and so on, and I need a place to go, I'll know where to land so that I can come to the farm. Did you get that, boys and girls? This guy's a doctor. He lives down in Florida, has a private plane, wants to know where he can land, so he can come here to the farm when this thing turns turtle, and he needs, you know, a place to go, a place to escape. He's going to come here to the farm. I got thinking about that a little bit, and I said, well, that's really big of him. And I guess he thought, or thinks, that I just don't have anything better in life to do than to feed and clothe and house and support and take care of that guy. That's assuming, of course, that I wanted to in the first place. And then we got to talking a little bit, and we get about one call every day. About one call every single day here. Of course, you know, you get millions of people listening. It's too surprising, I guess, you get a call a day. That's 365 calls a year. I'm going to write that in. I'm going to put that in my computer, 365 a year, of people who call here and they say, well, I need a job, Mr. Gordon. I've lost my job, and I want to come work for you. Well, hell, folks, I just got a little farm here with 30 head of Jersey cows. I mean, it ain't exactly, you know, Chase Manhattan Bank, you know, with 30,000 employees. I don't really have, once in a while, I have a hired man here, but, you know, it's not too often. I do just about everything here by myself, and then I hire a guy once in a while. Or a lot of times students come here and they want to work off their tuition, so they'll come here and work for a while and do something for me. But about one guy a day, and it's getting more and more. As the economy is turning turtle, we got more and more people that are in need, and they want to get a job here. I guess they figure that this, and I thank you for calling me, and I thank you for considering me and your vote of confidence. But I just thought I'd share with you that I'm not really sure that I can hire 365 people a year. In fact, I can go so far as to tell you that ain't going to happen. No way in hell. Then we got a third group of people. They call once in a while, not nearly as often. They say, well, when this thing turns turtle, I know where I'm going. God, I don't know how many of those are, but that's another bunch over there. Now, let's start thinking about this logically. You're sitting out there saying, you guys, I know where Gordon's got the means of survival, and he knows how to survive, and that's the guy I want to go get real close to. And even if it were possible that I could take 365 of you people, plus all you doctors that when this thing turns turtle, you got to have a place to go, plus all you people that have your AR automatic weapons, you're just going to come and take it. Boys and girls, even if I'm an old man. I'm an old man. If I could support myself, if I can feed and clothe and house and take care of myself, I'm going to be doing a pretty good job. If you think that I can support hundreds and hundreds and thousands of you people flocking in here to Isabella, Missouri, you got your heads up the wrong end. I mean, by the time you people all get here and you start fighting and killing and taking, I mean, you're all going to starve to death. There aren't any of you going to make it. So, you know, it's about time we woke up and faced reality. You know, you're going to have to take care of yourself. This old man and this old body over here cannot feed, clothe, and house all of you people out there that have it in your minds that I'm the only guy in the world that Mr. Gordon knows about me and he's going to take care of me. I mean, hell, that's the prodigal son story. You know, years ago, you people said to hell with God and to hell with the rest of you people. I'm going to Pittsburgh and work in the steel mills. All right, well, now the economy is turning turtle. The steel mill program didn't work out as well as we thought it did. There's, you know, those 27 steel mills are all closed in Pittsburgh now, and we're all flipping burgers and waiting for the other shoe to drop. And so now we're all sitting here saying, well, we got to have a place to escape to. And it looks like Isabella, Missouri. I just thought I'd share with you that if y'all blow into town here, you're all going to starve to death. Now, that's the bad news. Now, the good news is each and every one of you, I don't know where you live. If you live in Hawaii, I got a guy out in Hawaii right now. He's calling here about once a week, and he's just beside himself. He's just sitting out there saying, oh, my God, I've got to sell all of my real estate. I've got to unwind all of my investments and get the hell out of here. It's too late. It ain't going to happen. You see, the housing market, the real estate market peaked in June and July of 2005. If you didn't sell your real estate prior to June and July of 2005, you missed the top of the market. If you didn't get out of this thing within a year to 18 months after the peak, you're stuck with your property. I mean, if you said, what should I do with my real estate, Mr. Gordon? Sell it. Now the question is, well, who are you going to sell it to? Hell, you can't borrow any money. You can't go to the bank. I just read you the story here from the International Forecaster. Boys and girls, all of the money markets around the world are frozen up. Can you understand that? They're froze up. They're not making loans. Now, there's some loans going on. There's a little economic activity going on. But, you know, by and large, you know, all the commercial markets and the banks are going upside down. The banks, the big ones, Bank of America. Bank of America is in financial trouble. Citigroup is upside down. J.P. Morgan, upside down. Wake up. Now, you know, they haven't formally declared bankruptcy yet, but it's coming. Just a matter of time. It's like it was. You know, they didn't all declare bankruptcy on October the 25th, the day after the stock market collapsed in 1929. But, you know, little by little, 1930, 31, 32, 33, 34. That's why we had this bank holiday back in, March 1933. Bank holiday, 6 weeks, closed all the banks. Hell, they were going upside down, you know, right and left. Thousands of banks going bankrupt. All right, well, now they've gotten down to today. You know, they're just in trouble. But, you know, the trouble is going to exacerbate itself. And it's going to get worse. Now, I teach two schools here, so I'm going to share a little something with you. One's called How to Make $100,000 a Year on 25 Acres or Less, and the other's called Subsistence and Survival. Let me recommend those two schools. If you are that doctor, hey, if you're listening down there in Florida, let me share a little bit of information with you. You can save yourself, but I can't save you. And that's because old George Gordon, he just doesn't have enough energy in his old body over here to save all you people. But I do have something between my ears. My gray matter is filled with subsistence and survival techniques that I learned from my Aunt Bessie and my Uncle Buster and Uncle Lyle and my granny. And I asked those old-timers years ago, and, you know, guys like Frank Roach and Russell Harvey, and I asked those old men who lived through the Great Tribulation, not Great Tribulation, but the Great Depression of the 1930s, heading into the Great Tribulation of the 21st century. I think that's where we're headed, kids. I think that this is the last hurrah. That's just my personal opinion, but that's what I'm betting on. And I can't think of a better business to be in than food and a famine. Can you? Food and a famine. I think that's a hell of a business. And I'd like to show you how to do that. I'd like to show you how to put a business together like that. Now, this subsistence and survival fits right along with that because there's a great famine coming. Just like the great famine in Joseph's day. Remember when you went to Sunday school and they told you about the Egyptians and had this great famine? There's another one coming. Bigger, worser, meaner, badder than that great famine. There's a story in 1 Kings chapter 6 about a lady in a siege. The siege, that's where a foreign army surrounds your city and you can't get any supplies in, can't get any food in, called a siege. Today we call those embargoes. We do that. We have an embargo against the Iranians. Did you know that? And we have an embargo against the North Koreans and an embargo against the Cubans. You know, well, you know, they're still getting food and supplies in through our embargo. But there's coming an embargo from China and Japan. It's an economic embargo. And what they're going to do is they're going to quit sending us the big screen TVs and the shoes and the foodstuffs that we import into the United States because we don't pay them. Now, if you had somebody that you were supplying and you weren't getting paid, you know, you might say to yourself, I think I'll cut them off. Now, up until now, there's been great profit in this import-export business under Bretton Woods. Remember, I told you that story last time. And that's all well and good, but it's coming to an end because it's a Ponzi scheme. And these Ponzi schemes, you know, they run their course and then they run out. And this one's been going for about 80 years now. That's a great scheme. Worked great. We had a hell of a party. You know, it's like going to a party. Great party. But it's coming to an end. And then comes the hangover. There's going to be a period of time here when there's going to be some discomfort. And so all of you people out there that are planning to take your AK-47s and come here and shoot and kill me and then take everything that I've got, let me save you the time, effort, and energy. Before you can get here, somebody else is probably already going to have done that. So you will have been wasting your time, effort, and energy. There isn't enough here to support 10 people for 4 years. There's enough for me to support me and my family for 4 years, and I think that you should have enough to support you and your family for 4 years, wherever you are, whether you're in Hawaii or Florida or Texas or California, and everybody has the same opportunity. You can go out and you can produce your own. You can save yourself. I can't save you. I'm not going to be the guy that's going to do that. Now, most people that come to school here have a real problem finding this farm with directions from the postmistress. Fully one half of the people who come here without directions and a phone number when they arrive in Isabella, Missouri, which isn't easy to find because it's not on any map. I mean, you got to know where you're going, kids, to find Isabella, Missouri. Then when you get here, the logical thing is to go down to the post office and ask the postmistress, and she'll give you directions, and fully half of you with directions from the postmistress will miss the gate and get lost. So, I mean, if you think that George Gordon is your salvation, I don't want to burst your bubble, but I think that you're whistling Dixie thrust dry up. I don't think that's going to fly. But you can give a shot if you want to. Now, there's plenty out there. There's still, right now as I speak, when by the time you listen to this program, if you double your stroke and if you get busy, you, in the year 2008, could probably put yourself on the track to subsistence and survival. You probably could survive the Great Depression, the second Great Depression, if you put your mind to it. Now, most of you aren't even going to put your minds to it. I mean, it kind of reminds me of the Titanic. You know, after somebody said, we've already hit the iceberg, all of the captain and crew, like our president, says, hey, the economy is fundamentally sound and it's strong. You know, everything's fine. We have a few problems here, but we're working on them. We're going to take care of it. And I'm just here to tell you that that's nonsense. That isn't going to happen. This ship is going right straight to the bottom. It's going to take everybody with it, not everybody that doesn't get off. Now, there's going to be some survivors. There's going to be people that get off. Now, take the Amish, for instance. I mean, if you're looking for a farmer that you want to capture, you want to capture an Amish farmer because those guys are gilt-edged survivalists. I mean, taking your AK and coming down here and killing old George Gordon or taking me captive, I mean, you're getting BBB junk bond trash. If you want to get a real gilt-edged subsistence and survival farmer, you want an Amish man. Capture one of those. When this thing turns turtle, the Amish, they're gonna have plenty to eat. Those guys are going to take care of themselves. They have for hundreds of years. I mean, those guys have been through some real meat grinders, and they just keep coming right back time after time after time. So there's a thought for you. Now, there's a lot of programs, and there's a lot of people out there that are selling subsistence and survival in various groups and modes. You know, some of them are advocating that you need more guns, more bullets, and you need more camouflage suits, and you need to get way up in the mountains of Idaho. We have a little different program here, a little different take on that. I'm not running anybody down. I mean, you know, if you want to get your MREs together and tough it out in downtown Cleveland, you know, I'll get after it. Now, over the years, I have suggested that you listen to Clausen and strategic relocation. One of the things that my old Aunt Bessie and Uncle Buster told me, get the hell out of the cities. Get out of the city. Get away from people. As far away from people as you can get. You know, like Watson Lake in the Northwest Territories is too close to people. You want to get away from Watson Lake or up in the Yukon. People are your biggest problem. And that's because of the story of the little red hen. Next time I'll tell you about the little red hen and the goose that lays the golden eggs and the ant and the grasshopper. I'll tell you some of those stories. And I think it's going to help you in the overall subsistence and survival program. I mean, your Winnebago and your retirement is toast. That isn't going to happen, kids. Wake up to reality. This ship has already hit the iceberg. This ship is going to sink. We're headed toward famine. And I wouldn't have known there was coming famine unless I'd have read it in the Bible. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 28, about verse 55, I believe. I'll look at it quickly for you. There's famine mentioned in the Bible, you know, many, many, many times, a lot of stories about it. But the story that you really want to zero in on is the penal clause to the contract. And it's Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. I mean, read them and weep as I tell you down at the Blue Room. That's in verse 53. Deuteronomy 28, 53 through 58, just five or six verses there. And I'll tell you the story. And I would take it to heart. I took it to heart. I said, hey, listen, if it's going to get that bad, I guess I need to take action. Now, here at the law school, if you'll go to our webpage, we have a schedule, and we're going to put on a couple of these schools. In fact, they'll be this spring after Passover. We'll do subsistence and survival, and there's a special on those schools. For all you people out there, you know, the 365 of you that are calling me every day, and for the doctors out there that are looking for a place to land their airplanes, and for all you guys with your AK-47s that plan on shooting and killing me and taking it all, I mean, that isn't too difficult to do, but after you shoot me and take it all, then what are you going to do with it? how in the hell are you going to haul 5 tons, which is what you're going to need, and get out of here? I mean, you got to have transport. Kids, you got to have gasoline. Where in the hell are you people going to get the gasoline to even get here? I mean, do you people think, honest to God, do you think you're just going to pull into your local 7-Eleven, fill up with gas, blow into town, shoot everybody in sight, take what they've got, and drive on back to St. Louis? Is that what you've got in your head? I mean, come on, let's grow up and get real. You're not going to have gasoline. And what gasoline that's going to be available is going to be $6, $8, $10, $20 a gallon. That's what it was in Kosovo, $20 a gallon. And you're unemployed, and you don't have food, clothing, shelter, you're on the streets. Now, you need some help, all right, but you need help before the fact, not after the fact. Now, you're probably getting down to the last year or two. You don't have a lot of time now to get ready for this. You should have been ready by now. There's an old story in the Bible about the parable of the 10 virgins. It's in Matthew chapter 25. You've got to read that, because it's a story that fits with our dilemma today. This story of the 10 virgins, you know, where 5 virgins are wise and 5 virgins are foolish. 5 of them have their supplies and 5 of them don't. And the 5 that don't say to the 5 that do, give us of your abundance, and let's all share the shortage together. Boys and girls, by the time we all share the shortage, we all starve to death. You have to be able to take care of yourself in the same way that I have to be able to feed, to clothe, to house, and to take care of myself. So we'll have to take up a little bit more of that next time here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review, which I'm about out of time, so I'm going to have to give you a final reminder here that we're here to help if we can, and this is a place where we teach you how to do it. We're not going to do it for you. I'm going to show you how. All right, you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our webpage at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Remember that the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to get one. To order yours, just call the law school. It's free. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Airtime's up. We've got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody. And good night, friends.